First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Hey everyone, I'm a regular guest host on the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Welcome everyone to the Alan Nathan Show. And this is Karen Cataline filling in today for Alan Nathan. Good to have you along. And just to let you know, this is Alan Nathan's motto. We want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. Well, we have a guest. It's a mystery guest. Mr. Producer, I don't have a Tom. I have a Corinne. So I just have to be honest about that because I don't know who is our very first guest. But we have a guest. Sometimes that happens. We have a mystery guest, and his name is Tom. Tom, welcome to the Main Street Radio Network and the Alan Nathan Show. Who do we have? Okay, well, there was a mix-up, and so I was thinking maybe I had the wrong guest, but you know, that happens. This is live-to-tape talk radio. That's what it is. There is no shortage of huge information. I don't know if you were watching the heart-wrenching and happy, full of emotion, release of hostages as they met their families for the first time in 2 years. Hopefully you don't have to be Jewish. You don't even have to be a supporter of Israel to have been moved by this display on video just yesterday. What an amazing thing. This is a 20-point plan towards peace in the Middle East, something that many people thought was absolutely impossible. I was just talking to somebody recently who said, well, they both hate each other. The Arabs and the Israelis hate each other, and it can never change, and so why bother? And I thought, you know, despite my being quite frustrated by the moral equivalence that was presented there, I thought, you know, some people just don't want to know. Some people simply don't want to find out. That being said, we do have our guest. Mix-up is all gone. Independent journalist, White House Press Corps member, and official spokesperson for SAT123.com, Corinne Clifford joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Corinne. Good to have you along on the Alan Nathan Show.
I'm so grateful to be here, and I am so sorry that it got confused this morning, but I am live in Washington, D.C. at the White House.
Well, how about that? Before I ask you a bunch of questions, why don't you tell us what you're doing live in Washington, D.C., and give us a bird's eye view of what you're doing there?
I cover all of Washington, D.C. news, and you can find my news on X. You just have to spell my name right, CorinneCliford with one F. What I do since January 2021, God really told me to be in D.C., boots on the ground, heels on the ground, on the front line of history to really be able to tell you what's actually happening so that mainstream media and fake news cannot lie to you. So just today... Yes, just today, you know, President Trump just returned from Israel. It was a super successful journey for him, and he is not stopping. Right now, he's hosting the leader of Argentina, and then at 4 p.m. today, Eastern Standard Time, we are having a tribute to Charlie Kirk. President Trump, of course, is giving Charlie Kirk the Presidential Freedom Medal. So every single day, there is so much going on, and I really want people to understand that President Trump and his administration, they don't take days off. They don't take weeks off. There was no summer off. You know, we're all working 24/7 to get the truth out, you know, for the best of America first.
Well, I'm so glad that we have you today. I know that this Presidential Medal of Freedom is being awarded to Charlie Kirk on his posthumously on his 32nd birthday. It has been such an emotional week, and it's only Tuesday at this broadcast. It's only Tuesday.
Yeah, with the hostages being released. And
yes.
Listen, I want you to understand this, too. There is a Christian revival happening in the United States of America. Mainstream media is not reporting on it, but Generation Z is really doing their work. And so this last 2 days in Washington, D.C., it was really Friday and Saturday, tens of thousands of Christian people, mostly Generation Z, descended upon the National Mall from all 50 states. And they were praying, doing revival. They were singing. It was the most beautiful experience. I sold a lot of my footage. I've been reporting about it, though, because President Trump did clean up Washington, D.C. with the military and with the federal police. And so now in front of the White House, for the first time, when I come and go from work to the actual White House, there are Christians praying instead of Antifa protesting. So there is a revival happening, and I want people to be positive.
Corinne, I have a question. As most listeners know, that I am a very proud and somewhat unique Jewish conservative female person. And of course, yesterday and today touches me greatly. I have been concerned with the Christian revival that the meaning, the heart, the soul of Charlie Kirk will prevail over this smaller but very noisy and misguided, what people are calling the woke right, who are really, if I can use the word, perverting what Charlie Kirk stood for in Jews and Christians standing together, standing for religious pluralism and the right of all citizens to practice their faith in peace under the Constitution. And some of the haters are saying that the Mossad killed Charlie Kirk, which is to me an abomination, particularly with no evidence whatsoever. With someone like yourself on the front lines of this revival, which I support 100%, I just want to make sure that all faiths, good faiths, are welcomed, particularly the so-called Judeo-Christian traditions. From the front lines that you're seeing, what are you seeing with regard to that?
Yes, 100%. Christians, born-again Christians, the Christian revival respects Israel and Jewish people so much. Half of my family is Jewish. And of course, if you're a real Christian, you always respect the Jewish. And people need to realize that there are Muslim terrorist cells across America, and they could be activated at any time. You know, a lot of these kids who protest against Israel are not educated at all, and they don't realize if they went to Gaza, if they went to Muslim countries, they would be whipped in public. They may be beheaded. They don't understand how serious the situation is, that real Christians love every Jewish person. So the anti-Semitism needs to end.
Yeah. I'm 100%. Happy to hear you say that. And as a person who believes so strongly in religious pluralism, I know that there are some Arabs who've had the courage to stand up against the, shall we say, non-reformationist Muslims. There are some that I revere tremendously who love America, but that's not the Islamo-fascist ideology that is trying to push Sharia law on this country and all around the world. We have to make a distinction there. I want to go back, though, to Trump says there's virtually no violence in Washington, D.C. Some of us who are not in Washington, NBC marvel at the extreme statement and wonder how could he have done that so quickly? And what are you seeing there on the ground?
Okay, so there is still violence in Washington, D.C. You're correct. You can't be so extremist, but it's definitely not in the areas that I have to go to work in or that I have to walk around in. If you understand what our founding fathers, they wanted a safe city, a safe location for the federal government to be able to exist and thrive. So the violence that happens is street violence amongst gangs on the streets surrounding Washington, D.C.
But Corinne, you hear that?
DC, it's safe. Yes.
I'm so sorry. You hear that music? Boy, our segments are short. Wonderful. We applaud independent journalists like yourself. Where can people find you?
So go to sat123.com and then go on my X account, Corinne Clifford. God bless you. Thank you so much.
And same to you. Godspeed. We're so glad you're out there. Well, we're off and running on the Alan Nathan Show. We will be back with more on the Main Street Radio Network right after this.
Does your digital life feel more like a junk drawer than a tidy desk? Whether it's updating passwords or organizing digital files, Tom Camber, Executive Director of Senior Planet from AARP, has tips for getting your digital house in order.
We all have organizing projects that we put off, and that's just as true in our online lives as in our homes. In a recent survey, more than half of people over 50 say they are having trouble managing and organizing their digital information.
To help reverse the trend, Senior Planet is launching the 2025 Digital House Cleaning Challenge.
Think of it like spring cleaning, but for your digital life. Senior Planet's 5-day Digital House Cleaning Challenge helps you tackle your privacy settings, password managers, file storage, and more with simple step-by-step tips. We've broken it down into one easy checklist. It's free, it's practical, and it gives you control over your digital life.
To join the challenge, visit seniorplanet.org/digital-house-cleaning.
As students settle into the new school year, experts warn about a danger that's often overlooked: human trafficking. While many think it only happens abroad, trafficking can happen in any community, and young people are especially vulnerable during times of transition, like the start of school. Erica Reed with the Department of Homeland Security's Blue Campaign says adults need to know the signs.
Traffickers often build trust by posing as a mentor or friends. Any sudden change in behavior, like isolation or secretive relationships, can be a warning sign.
But knowing the signs is only part of the solution. Reed says starting a conversation early can make all the difference.
It's important to know that just a simple check-in with the young people in your life can open the doors to trust. And that simple act can prevent exploitation before it ever begins. Be the adult that notices.
To learn how to recognize the signs and help protect students this school year, visit dhs.gov/bluecampaign.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve, it's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And it is a great pleasure to have with us once again Jeff Dornick, founder and CEO of Pickaxe, the groundbreaking social media platform built on two uncompromising principles, freedom of speech and freedom of reach. Oh, I love that. He hosts the Jeff Dornick Show, and his newest book is called Following the Leader. Jeff Dornick, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Thanks for having me on. Been looking forward to chat with you again.
Yes, me too. Well, let's see. California Governor Gavin Newsom, I'm not going to call him Newscom, although a lot of people do, and the Democrats en masse are still trashing Trump, even after he just ended yet another war, perhaps the most difficult. There's a lot more to do there. Newsom just signed laws on gun regulation and slavery reparations. Is this the road for Newsom to get the nomination for president in 2028? Why don't you help us break that down, would you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I live out here in communist California, so we've been having to deal with Newsom for quite a while, obviously. But it's interesting because the way that Newsom, it's clear to me, it's very obvious that Gavin Newsom wants to run for president in 2028, and uh-huh. and he's trying to, on one hand, position himself as the moderate, sane candidate, and trying to paint the, you know, MAGA crowd and Trump and J.D. Vance and everybody as, you know, wild right wing, you know, extremists. But then also on the flip side, if you look at the legislation, you look at his policies, you look at the things that he's doing, it's clear that he is actually a far left progressive extremist. And I think that we're seeing that in a lot of his wildly unconstitutional laws that he's signing into place, like you mentioned, the gun regulations and all that. You know, he's basically taking the approach from a policy standpoint of everything that is opposite of whatever Donald Trump is doing. So when you see that, you know, Trump is, you know, putting together a peace deal in the Middle East and that's all coming together. And obviously, like you said, there's a lot of work to do, but it's like nobody else is able to accomplish all of this. You see people like Newsom and a lot of these other Democrats, they're going to find something, if anything, in order to nitpick and make it seem as if it's a bad deal, it's the wrong approach, because they cannot bring themselves to admit that Trump may have done something right.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, it makes it phenomenally easy for Trump, who's a brilliant strategist, really. It makes it so easy for him to make them look stupid. He has now succeeded in making Democrats and Newsom be willing to tell the truth that they are pro-crime, pro-terrorist, pro-filth and dirt on the streets. They're pro-drugs. The only people they come to the rescue of are terrorists and illegal aliens. I mean, they look ridiculous. Do they look as ridiculous in California? Oh, don't forget being totally incompetent at stopping a fire, a horrific fire. Do they look as ridiculous in California as they do to a lot of other places around the country?
Well, I think in all reality, the Democrats do, to a lot of the everyday Californians, people are sick and tired of Gavin Newsom. And it was interesting because during the last recall of Newsom, I remember we're talking to a lot of my Democrat friends. Because again, I'm out here in communist California. Everybody out here is a lefty. You know, I talk to, you know, everybody. And it's interesting because a lot of people were sick and tired of Gavin Newsom, and they were going to vote to recall him. However, they ended up being propagandized to and pushed to, because they were more terrified of Trump, or, you know, in this case, Larry Elder, who they saw as, you know, Trump incarnate, who would be, you know, the person who would step in if Newsom was recalled. And they were more scared of him than they were of Gavin Newsom. So they ended up voting to keep Gavin Newsom in office. But that's not an endorsement of Newsom. And I think that people out here in California are getting more and more tired of the, like you said, the insanity when it comes to the homelessness, the ineptitude of dealing with the rampant drug use and the fires and all of that. I mean, right now up there in the Palisades, where the fires, you know, wrecked all sorts of carnage. Everybody's being evacuated right now because of mudslides, because there's still, like, we're still dealing with the aftermath of it, and nobody's actually doing anything in order to truly rebuild and keep people safe in that area. And so we're seeing those same people that lost their homes and were evacuated are being evacuated again, except instead of being a fire,
horrific,
it's due to rain.
You know what? The other thing is there have been a couple of major news items with regard to what you mentioned. Number one, at least one, I don't know if all, arsonists have been arrested for the Palisade fire in particular. So I guess it wasn't the weather. And number two, could you speak to that Katie person? Isn't she running for governor? So let's first talk about, I love it. It's beautiful. Isn't she running for governor in California, even though it's like a year and a half away?
Yeah, no, right now, unfortunately, she is the front runner. She is actually the one that I live in a district down here in Orange County, California, and she was the Democrat that quote unquote flipped our district from being a staunch red district to being
staunch blue.
I don't believe that at all either.
Democrats cheat, you know. So
the crazy thing about Katie Porter specifically is that, you know, with Katie Porter, she's not even trying to be like Gavin Newsom, where, you know, you try to act as if you're the moderate candidate and you appeal to all sides, even though you have a far leftist agenda. She's just like, literally, she's asked, how are you going to get people who voted for Trump to vote for you? And she's like, why do I need them? Like, that's her mentality.
Yeah, but Jeff, I'm sorry to interrupt because we don't have much time, but shouldn't we be thrilled with Katie Porter? We should be pushing her candidacy because she's an embarrassment, believe it or not, even to Democrats. She's ridiculous. I don't ever understand Republicans who've never heard the adage, when your opponent is destroying himself, get out of the way.
So the problem is out here in California, we have what you call a jungle primary. And so the primaries are not Democrat and then Republican and then the winners challenge each other. It's a free for all. So the top two candidates end up going to the general election. And so when you see it that way, there's only two candidates that you will be able to vote for in the general election.
Oh,
and if it comes down to Blanco, who's running on the Republican side, and Katie Porter, and Katie Porter wins, then we're going to see ultimate progressive leftist communist craziness being implemented in California.
No wonder they love jungle primaries. I mean, that tried to be instituted in Colorado, and certain Republicans have pushed it every step of the way, and the rhino Republicans have been siding with Democrats, slitting their own throats politically because they don't understand. They're too dumb to understand what that means. Isn't there a British guy, a conservative, I forget his name, who's running?
Yes, Steve Hilton.
He's
definitely running. Yes,
I actually
like him. He's got a lot of sane policies and all that. Unfortunately, the GOP is back in the share from Riverside. So,
Okay. Jeff Dornick, boy, it was a very quick segment. Tell everybody they can find you on the internet.
Go follow me on Pickaxe, which is my social media platform, PICKAX.com. You can follow me there. Subscribe to my email newsletter there. That's the best place to find me.
Always a pleasure, Jeff. Jeff Dornick, Dornick. Thank you so much for joining us on the Ellen Nathan Show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have lots more on the Main Street Radio Network. We'll be back.
The skyrocketing prices of prescription drugs are a growing crisis for many Americans. Understanding your coverage is critical to maximizing the cost-saving benefits offered by your health plan. Joshua Friedel, pharmacist and senior vice president at CVS Caremark, shares more.
To take control of your medication costs and health, here are a few steps to consider. First, your pharmacy benefit manager, or PBM, can help explain the details of your prescription drug plan. Your PBM can also explore cost-saving options with you, such as generic or biosimilar drugs, to help counteract the high drug prices set by pharmaceutical companies. Next, prioritize taking your prescription medications as directed. This is crucial for achieving the intended benefits, which in the long run can reduce overall healthcare costs. And finally, engage with your pharmacist, doctor, and other healthcare professionals. This is vital for informed decision-making and ultimately improved health outcomes.
For more information, visit cvshealth.com.
Small businesses face constant security challenges, from protecting property to keeping employees and customers safe. Simply Safe is stepping in with a new suite of professional-grade security solutions designed specifically for business owners. TV host and entrepreneur Chip Wade has more.
As a business owner, I travel a lot for work. And it's reassuring to have a system that not only lets me monitor my businesses no matter where I am, but it's protected by trained agents who will intervene if there's trouble. It's about knowing my offices and workshops are protected even when I can't be there.
Simply Safe Business Security offers customizable plans backed by 24/7 monitoring. Key features include AI-powered cameras, live agents who can help prevent crimes and call for help in an emergency, multi-camera live streaming, customized user access, and elevated customer support.
Simply Safe aims to give business owners just like me peace of mind so they can focus on growing their businesses, all without long-term contracts or cancellation penalties.
To learn more, visit simplysafe.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Ellen Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Ellen today. And we're delighted to have back with us author, poet, columnist, and attorney. She was previously a visiting fellow with the American Institute for Economic Research and a policy analyst at the Libertas Institute. Her latest book is Progressive Prejudice, Exposing the Devouring Mother. What a compelling title. Thank you for coming back with us again, Leslie Corbley. Always a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, yes. So once again, because it's just such a illustrative title, what's a devouring mother?
Sure. I use that phrase, I suppose, or descriptor, because it's the archetype of female predation. So the devouring mother would be a mother who uses the care of her children as a pretext for meeting her own narcissistic needs. Think of it that way, right?
So, oh, I love it.
Oh, I'm taking care of my children. But in fact, rather than taking care of the dependent is sort of a source of supply for your own aggrandizement, right?
Well,
so that's kind of what that was for.
And many people are familiar with this. I myself wrote a book called Fatlash that featured something called Princess by Proxy, where, you know, mothers who put their kids in child beauty pageants. And of course, for their own self-aggrandizement, that's the very definition of it. Also, it can be very poisonous when children are sexualized and put on display, or the well-known phenomenon of the Munchausen's by proxy syndrome, where mothers actually inflict pain on their child so they can get sympathy every time they take the poor child to a doctor. So let's translate that, as I know you can, into politics and the professed compassion set that's always saying that they have to inflict pain on everyone because they're more compassionate than everyone else. Is that kind of where you're going?
Yes. The idea is that if you take the structure of Munchausen by proxy, which, by the way, is an remarkably difficult disorder to prove someone has because of the layers of deception involved. So I use Gypsy Rose Blanchard as an example of that. Her mother had Munchausen by proxy. And yet, you know, it frankly took Gypsy, frankly, had to kill her mother.
Gypsy Rose Blanchard? What's her name?
Blanchard, the one. Gypsy Rose Blanchard, the woman that was.
Oh,
she plotted to kill her mother with an individual she met online, and her mother had all these fictitious disorders for her, you know, that she had seizures, she was in a wheelchair, you know, and the thing I wanted to point out in the book is how hard it is to prove the physical aspect of Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah.
Now, with as difficult as it is to prove something physical, which obviously by definition has more like credence because there's more visible proof, take the structure of Munchausen by proxy, and if you put it into the emotional or non-physical realm, psychological realm, then you end up with something that can be very, very hard to detect. And I think that's one of the things we struggle with in our culture right now, is we are very, very adept and aware of how to categorize overt harm, which is frankly more easy to see when it's perpetrated by men, right? Men tend to perpetrate harm, not always, but usually perpetrate harm in a more overt physical manner. They might hit you, there might be blood, there's some kind of like physical evidence that you've been harmed. When it comes to a female inflicting a lot of pain, it's less likely to follow that pattern. And so I think we struggle to understand or conceptualize the ways in which women, who frankly, I think feminists are right, they do more emotional labor. But when you do more emotional labor, you also have more relational power, right? You have more emotional power. And we don't talk about that aspect of it because we are so focused in culture on sort of classifying women as inherently being victims of harm. And obviously that's true, and we should talk about the ways in which women are victimized, but the reality is they also have a lot of power, and they especially have power in the realm of emotional and relational dynamics, and especially as it relates to children. And we actually don't really have that conversation that I'm aware of really at all. You know, we talk about how hard it can be for women to be dependent on men and the ease with which they may be abused by being dependent on men. We have no corresponding conversation about the fact that children are almost exclusively dependent on women, and they are wholly dependent on women. And in fact, so dependent, you know, that dependency is often used against them in the sense that, you know, when it comes to the mother-child relationship, we actually say that the dependency of the child initially in utero is a justification for a woman to be able to kill them. So we just don't have these kind of conversations regarding mothers and children as it relates to power and dependency and what that might look like when it's abused. because I think we have the simultaneous hatred of motherhood, and yet we venerate it, right? motherhood should in some ways be avoided, but it's also something that once a mother has decided to have a child, it's taboo to point out that the mother may, in fact, engage in relational dynamics that harm the child, but in some ways help her.
And it opens up a whole nother can of worms when the state gets involved. And the state is guilty, mm-hmm. I think, by virtue of the other part of the title of your book, Progressive Prejudice, that if you have a state that's saying, yeah, this mother is narcissistically making the child an extension of her narcissistic need, and then the government mm-hmm. comes in and say, we know best, and she better allow her kid to have a sex change operation or else. It's complicated, isn't it?
It really is. But what I tried to point out is the sort of fundamental issue, and the reason I titled it Progressive Prejudice, is that the prejudices of the left are subtle and they go very much unnoticed. So again, to go back to that issue of mothers and children, we've sort of broken the sacred bond between mothers and children through the rhetoric and reality of abortion. And the idea basically is that if the child only has value to the extent the mother stamps that value, that approval onto the child. But once the mother does that, it's sort of absolute, right? Now everyone has to value the child because the mother did. But the child isn't valued for the sake of existing. The child is valued because of the value conferred onto the child by the mother. And that's not a power that you see society being comfortable giving to men, right? I mean, when you think about what you're saying when you say mothers have the right to determine who lives and dies, who, is born and who isn't, that's really a godlike authority. And I think that's one of the reasons we struggle so much to have honest and good conversations surrounding gender dynamics, gender and power, and just general relational power within the within culture, because we don't really scrutinize that idea. And it's quite frankly very prejudicial, because lots of children, as it turns out, are abused by women. Women are actually not more likely than to abuse children than men, but they are statistically the greater percentage of abusers of children. Obviously, they have a lot more interactions with children, so that has something to do with it. But that still is contrary to what we would imagine, right? If you think of a man and a woman both being accused of abusing a child, frankly, the man is going to be most people are going to look to the man as abusive rather than the woman, despite the fact that's really not always the case.
Oh,
and so
absolutely.
Again, I just don't think
that's
we have.
True.
Yes, but we don't. So that means that there's a lot of abuse that's going undiscussed. So we're not talking about that form of abuse because, again, it's taboo. It's perceived as punching down, and I don't think it is. Again, because of the reality that children are really primarily dependent on women, more so than men. Most of their caretakers are women. Most of the people who have an opportunity to in some way, either emotionally, psychologically harm them are women. And we just don't talk about that because it's unsavory and it's complicated and it blurs the line of victim and victor. And those are the types of prejudices that progressives prop up, right? They want this clear delineation between oppressor and oppressed. And that's not really how life works.
Yeah. Well, in our last couple of minutes, it's a short segment. Tell everybody why they ought to buy your book, particularly from a political standpoint, The Progressive Prejudice. What's one little gem tidbit that they'll learn from Progressive Prejudice?
Sure. So the book is actually unique in that it blends autobiography and cultural commentary. So I have my own sort of background with a devouring mother, and that's sort of the backdrop against which a lot of the commentary occurs. And I think it does a really good job of weaving together the personal and the political and showing how easy it is for, like I said, these prejudices of the left to be completely ignored. And I think that those are coming into sharp focus culturally, and that's important to engage with because I think increasingly there's more and more constituencies who are feeling unheard and devalued by the left, and that's one of the reasons you have such strong rise of political figures like Donald Trump who are so clearly against what the left stands for.
Yeah, that's Leslie Corbley you're listening to, author, poet, columnist, and attorney. And where do people get your book, Progressive Prejudice?
Sure, it's available on Amazon, or you can go to my website, LeslieCorbley.com.
Very good. Thank you so much. Keep up the great work. We hope to talk to you again soon. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll wrap up this very quick hour on the Alan Nathan Show. Don't go away. We'll be back.
It's Respiratory Syncytial Virus, or RSV, Awareness Month. If you're a new or expecting parent, now's the time to help protect your baby from serious RSV lung infections. RSV is unpredictable and can escalate quickly. 2 out of 3 babies are infected by age 1, so the risk is real. I'm Dr. Mona Amin, pediatrician and mom of 2. I'm encouraging families to join the 6 million and counting parents who've chosen to get their baby Beyfortus, nirsevimab ALIP. It's a preventive antibody that helps protect babies from serious RSV lung infection. October is here. Your baby can get Beyfortus at birth in the hospital or during a pediatrician visit. Don't wait. Talk to your baby's doctor today and visit Beyfortus.com to learn more.
Beyfortus is a long-acting preventive antibody that gives babies the RSV antibodies they lack. Beyfortus is a prescription medicine used to help prevent serious lung disease caused by RSV in babies under age 1, born during or entering their first RSV season, and children up to 24 months who remain at risk of severe RSV disease through their second RSV season. Your baby shouldn't receive Beyfortus if they have a history of serious allergic reactions to Beyfortus, nirsevimab ALIP, or any of its ingredients. Tell your baby's doctor about any medicines they're taking and all their medical conditions, including bleeding or bruising problems. Serious allergic reactions have happened. Get medical help right away if your child has any of the following signs or symptoms of a serious allergic reaction, such as swelling of the face, mouth, or tongue, difficulty swallowing or breathing, unresponsiveness, bluish color of skin, lips, or under fingernails, muscle weakness, severe rash, hives, or itching. Most common side effects include rash and pain, swelling, or hardness at their injection site. Individual results may vary. Ask your baby's doctor about Beyfortus. Visit Beyfortus.com or call 1-855-BEYFORTUS for full prescribing information.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's H-E-L-P-P-V-A.
Welcome back, everyone, on the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And here to help us wrap up our first fast hour of the Alan Nathan Show is Nils Gravilius, prominent Los Angeles-based private investigator of the Pinkerton Organization, best known for his investigation of the Wonderland Avenue murders, their cover-up, and the ties they exposed between LA's city government and organized crime. His books include Skulldiggery and Sub Rosa, with his next book, The Last Lawman, due in 2026. Nils Gravilius, thank you so much for joining us on the Alan Nathan Show.
It's my sincere pleasure, Karen. I wanted to clarify something. I am no longer with the Pinkerton Service. That's in the distant past, but I'm very, very pleased to tell your audience that I was a Pinkerton man.
Okay. Well, I'll have to remember to have that corrected here. You come to us at a time when, obviously, with Trump in the White House, the news cycles are 5 minutes long until the next huge thing happening. One of the things that's happening is this enormous amount of violence, political, they're calling it political violence, but it's only really coming from one side of the aisle, and the left is doing everything they can to make it a moral equivalent between Republicans and Democrats, or left and right. It's just hard to believe that. Most of us have a hunch, because we know that there's something quite sinister going on there. What can you tell us about these violent attacks? Obviously, they're very different. Mass shootings are different, I think, than the Charlie Kirk assassination, for example. Give us an idea and help us be clear about that.
Well, Karen, it's my opinion that the media, the political media, the mainstream political media and the conservative media do a disservice in that they don't correctly identify who it is that's behind this. Acorn becomes Occupy Wall Street, becomes Black Lives Matter, becomes No Kings, becomes Free Palestine. It's all part of the Marxist Hydra. Mm-hmm. And yes, the political assassins, you know, the Matthew Crouch and Mr. Robinson there in Utah, they are part of the Marxist Hydra. We don't know yet whether or not they were part of a network, but they were certainly consanguineous with the Marxists in the
streets. My goodness, I love that word. What's consanguineous?
Of the same blood.
Maybe even useful idiots, perhaps?
Well, useful idiot would mean that it's unintended. They're happy to do violence. And when you see some people call them Antifa, some call them Occupy, some go whatever. They're pro-Palestinian protesters, let's say, on Thursday. And on Friday, they're anti-ICE protests. Well, it's all the same people. It's the same organizations. And Karen and Nils are paying for them. This comes out of county government, city government, state government. This comes out of NGO money, that sort of thing. And I think that Pam Bondi, Kash Patel are missing an opportunity here to shed more light on these people. There should be a searchable database and a published list and booking photos of everybody arrested for these assaults on ICE officers, et cetera, firebombing courthouses. We should know their hometown, their name and aliases, their dates of birth, their employer and or employers and or the university, the state-funded a-hole factory that they're attending on Karen's dime and Nils' dime.
Yeah. You know
that
what,
should
Nils,
be made public.
Along with everything you just said, and you mentioned pro-Palestinian twice, in light of the release of the last living 20 hostages and this very disturbing, what is being called the woke right, among a lot of people think that the left is funding certain people on the right to divide the Trump coalition so that they can, for example, blame without evidence, mind you, the murder and horrific assassination of Charlie Kirk on the Mossad. I've gotten a little annoyed on this program with even a few conservative or professed conservative Republicans who say they don't believe Kash Patel. They don't believe this person who you just mentioned actually pulled the trigger. No, it was Israel who killed Charlie Kirk,
a great supporter of Israel. What we have here is an insecure populace. You know, when you look back at the COVID-19 situation, I think that was a test run to see how we'd react to each other. And it was wildly successful. We still have people on one side wearing masks alone in their cars.
Yes.
Vaccinating, you know, that sort of thing.
Yes.
They're all about the COVID drama, that sort of thing. And then we have people on the other side who are raging about what occurred doing that. And some of that's righteous. They should be upset about it. But the effect was for people to not trust each other, to be insecure.
Fall for very simplistic, old, ugly prejudices where you could find all of that. If you want to be anti-Semitic, all you got to do is go online and there's loads and loads and loads of it that will support the reason for all my problems are those Jews or whomever.
That is correct. Now, I'm going to say something about the pro-Palestinian left. They don't give a rat's rectum about the Palestinians, not any more than they care about black people, the rights of women, homosexuals, etc. For them, it is just about power. And Karen, let's understand properly that power is an irresistible narcotic for the weakling. And what the hard left really is a coterie of weaklings. It's the Ku Klux Klan. And they're fighting the reconstruction that Donald Trump is now leading is the best analogy that I can say. Now, on the right, there are people who are paranoid, and it is their paranoia that fires them in this direction.
Uh-huh. It's so important. You hear that music. I'm sorry that we have so little time. I love speaking with you, not just about that, but about the what's really going on. How can people find you, Nils Gravilius, and learn
more? I'm at Detective Nils on X, formerly Twitter, and look for The Last Lawman to come out in June of 2026, just in time to wreck Father's Day.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. We'll be back on The Ellen Nathan Show.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.